So one of our user submissions basically said, I'd like to see you and Mike discuss where you work, what's on your desk or what kind of desk, how you work, where you are in the in another room or your house or on the go. So, you know, hey, sounds good to me. I think people would be interested to hear that and kind of, you know, kind of hear what's around us in our environments and, you know, that sort of thing. So, you want to start? Should I start?
Yours is probably going to be, I would assume, I like to assume that yours will probably be more what the people will want to hear. my workspace area at home, I'm sort of operating out of a small room, which I'm confined to. And it's got everything that I would want in it. So I have a pretty large desk. It's probably about, it's a glass desk, which is nice. And it's probably about maybe 5 foot by 3 foot. Mm. 5-6 foot by 3 foot. Now that would be amazing if all I had on it was my Mac. But on it I have an Xbox, a 23-inch Samsung TV, my 24-inch iMac, I think it is. And then, you know, the Yeti. But then also on there is all of my crap. So I've got Xbox games, DVDs, notepads, medication, junk mail, deodorant, bag of crisp. Effectively, anything that could be put into a room is on this desk, because this desk takes up about a third of my room.
Ah.
Yeah, so I haven't really got any place to put anything else.
Typical kind of, you know, one of the things I know, having traveled, you know, a fair amount in Europe and even in Great Britain, I mean, you just don't have American style big houses, you know. Rooms are small generally.
Yep.
Right. So, I mean, that's not unusual. Your setup is not unusual. And how does that? I mean, how does that affect you as far as, like, because you have less space to work with, you, I would imagine that you, I mean, do you put more thought into how much you can have, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, let's say, probably a good way to say my desk is, maybe it's split into two. All of the crap is on the left side of the desk, but on the right side of the desk is where the podcasting happens. And on that side of the desk,
that's where the magic happens, baby.
Exactly, as they say on Cribs. And on this side of the desk, there's basically nothing. It's just the computer, the Yeti, my coaster to put my drink on, and my iPad and a notepad. That's all. Nice. I've got on this side of the desk.
Nice.
And this, because this is where I sit 3 nights a week for about, well, 4 nights a week if you count all the editing and stuff. This is where I am from maybe 7 o'clock at night up until midnight. It's just sitting here and doing all the good stuff that I love for the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, so this is my environment, and I've got a window right in front of me, which is always important. Even though all I'm looking at is somebody else's house, it's still important.
It's still out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not looking at a wall.
Yeah.
If I, you know, I mean, if I could sit, you know, if I could have this anywhere, I mean, this desk would be completely empty.
Yeah.
And I would have, you know, just nothing on it, because that would be much nicer to look at. I would be sitting in front of a much bigger window, maybe looking at some sort of greenery. It would be lovely.
Yeah. But I think it's, I do think it's rather interesting that you keep your, like, you keep the area where you're working on your desk, at least, free and clear and focused on the task at hand, it sounds like.
I hadn't even noticed I did that until I looked at it when talking and describing you it. I just noticed, oh, there's nothing on this side.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's fascinating and admirable, actually. You know, I would say that even right now, it's not even something that I do. you know, So, as we started to discuss before the show, and I'm like, no, we gotta save this for recording. So, I actually live in a fairly non-minimal house. You know, it's an old Queen Anne style Victorian that's very large. We've got about 2,800 square feet here, and three floors. It's an old house. 1886 is when it was built, and very interesting thing behind it is that this is one of the few homes around that time in general that was actually commissioned to be built by a woman, the widow of a hardware salesman who also did some of her own land speculating on the side and took her life's earnings to save up and saved it up and built this house where she and her daughters lived. And eventually she made enough money to build a house for her daughters next door. And that house burned down sometime in the 70s. But this house remains. It's one of the earlier houses in this area, despite the fact that it's not technically in the historic district. It's actually older than a lot of the homes that are. That's my home. And my office area is up on what used to be the attic, but has been completely remodeled and refinished into being a open third floor loft space. And since living in this house, my wife actually bought it 10 years prior to our being together. So she owned the house and lived in this house long before I came along, but we finished this loft area together before my moving in. But this is where my bedroom was as well. It's 800 square feet up here, so there's a ton of room. And
it's a big end floor plan for my whole house.
I kind of sensed you might say something like that. And so we kind of divided it in a way, just functionally down the middle, with the bedroom kind of in one half and our shared office area in the other. As my wife is also a consultant and also works out of the home. But around the time that we moved in, we started kind of looking for just kind of the perfect desks. And one day we were at Costco, which is a kind of warehouse, a membership-based warehouse chain here in the States.
And in the UK?
Do they have some in the UK?
We do.
Oh, they're awesome. Yep. You can buy everything in great big quantities. It's great. we found these desks that we really liked, and they were on sale, and they were perfect, exactly what we were looking for. These beautiful, large with a cherry wood veneer, very kind of arts and crafts, craftsman style, with a very linear, not a lot of tasteful details, tasteful ornamentation, slide out keyboard tray, extremely hairy cherry wood veneer, with a hutch, with these little kind of cubby hole compartments, basically, six up and a couple of drawers on, just really, or three up, I'm sorry, on either side, a couple of drawers, some cubbies in between, really, really nice. I have this nice architect style lamp from IKEA that sits up on top and gives me nice light. I generally prefer to work with just that on. But the reason I kind of went into the whole thing with where my space was and whatever was, it's kind of in a state of flux. Because we just recently finished what we had always planned to be our main bedroom, but it literally was down to the cracking off plaster and lath with the underfloor, the pine underfloor, and it basically was completely gutted, and we had to rebuild it back up from scratch and put in a hardwood floor and have the walls repaired and skim coated and painted, and I did this really complex stenciling treatment on them and everything else. So, I mean, we've literally been working on that space for well over a year, probably a year and a half, and have just now finally been gotten it to a point where we can move in and have moved into that. So our bedroom area has moved down there, and now I'm trying to, you know, and we haven't completely moved everything down there, but now I'm going to be reimagining this, the whole layout of this upstairs loft space, so that there's enough, you know, not only do I have, I've never really been comfortable with kind of where my desk is and where it's arranged and stuff like that, but I really haven't had much choice because, well, there's half of it has been bedroom, but now I have this whole other half. I can put things where I want them. I can move things around, and because of that, my desk is anything but minimal right now. I've got all sorts of stuff piled on top of it, and here and there, I've got an inbox that's overflowing that I've been neglecting for weeks now. I've got, I mean, it's an absolute sty. It's a mess. So much so that I haven't been comfortable working up here lately. But don't want to put the effort into cleaning it up until, like, I'm putting the effort into completely rearranging everything anyway. And so, So I've tended to work downstairs at our dining room table a lot. And anyone who's followed me on Minimal Mac and seen recent pictures or, you know, on Twitter or whatever, you know, the pictures I posted have been me working at my dining room table, partly because it's completely clean and clear. Right now we've got a nice vase of tulips in the middle, and so it's very pleasant and nice, and the downstairs is relatively clean, it's just a much more comfortable, peaceful, restful space to work in than my third floor, my official office area, is right now. So once I'll get things back in business once all the dust has settled, as it were.
So the setup that you have, Pat, is it your ideal setup?
Wow, that's a very, that's a difficult question. Here's the thing, and that is that the setup I have as it stands right now, no. I've been putting a lot of thought into this, and one of the things that's true, I've always found to be true for me, and I think I've mentioned this on a past episode, and if not, I know I've mentioned it on the site, is that changing my work location, even by a few feet, even within the same house, you know, like even moving from upstairs here in the office to working downstairs in the dining room, can change my attitude and my productivity quite dramatically. So much so that I think one of the things that I'm going to do when I rearrange this third floor space is provide myself some different working options, so that not only do I have the option of working at my desk, but I also have this a couple of these IKEA Trella or workhorse sort of legs where you can like take a tabletop and put it on top. But I've got a great big long old solid door sitting on them. I'd love to have that in the middle of the room, almost like having the same sort of sense as my dining room, where because often what happens, especially lately, is that, you know, I'll be sitting downstairs working at the dining room table, my wife will come in from one of her clients, and she'll come and she'll prop up her computer and work across from me, and we'll have good conversation, but also be getting some stuff done, and it's a very nice experience, and being able to kind of recreate that in our office area, so that we have the option of doing that, plus have, you know, a printer close at hand, and, you know, other things that we need to allow us to facilitate that even better. I think that will be closer to my ideal and will allow me the ability to, you know, if I'm feeling kind of unmotivated and unproductive, change my location without even leaving the room, and putting a different perspective, and thus changing my attitude and my productivity. At least I hope that's the result.
Sounds cool, man.
Yeah.
So the MacBook Air, that's the machine?
Love it. Love it. Love
is that,
it.
Is that your main 100% all the way machine?
Yeah, it kind of is. Although there are certainly times, and especially recently, where, like, you know, I'll be up here working at my desk, and what I'll grab to go downstairs and work, and especially if I'm dealing with email or I'm going to write something, is my iPad. I'll grab my iPad and my Griffin Loop stand, which I love, and bring those down to the dining room table and, you know, set it up and do my thing.
Whatever without a keyboard?
Without, actually.
See, man, after my own heart.
Well,
I'm happy with the keyboard. I mean, I quite like it. I quite like rolling, writing with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think the key, and maybe I've discussed this before, maybe I haven't, is that I've never learned how to type correctly.
Mm.
I've always been very fast two-finger typist, a very fast hunt and pecker. And I think people who learn how to type correctly have a harder time adjusting to that virtual keyboard because they're used to resting their hands on the keyboard or otherwise sensing where the home row is. And you can't really do that with the iPad or with a virtual keyboard.
Even though they very nicely put the little notches in for you.
Yeah, they very nicely do, but... Try resting your hand on those suckers and see where it gets you. You know?
Can't you feel them then, though?
I'm sorry?
Can you not feel them then?
No, not only can you not feel them, but you're going to end up with a series of, you know, a series of J's. Yeah, it'll be JJJ, you know, T, JJJH, TJJE. It doesn't work. The iPad is still very much my quote unquote everywhere else machine. It's the machine I'm most likely to grab to take elsewhere. Like I said, especially if I'm focused on, if I want to be focused on one app at a time. It's the better machine for me. So for you, is it just the iMac?
Yeah, just the iMac. I have the iPad as well, but since I upgraded the RAM in my iMac quite recently, I've started using it even more, just because it was getting a bit ridiculous. I put 4 gigs in it, up from 1 gig. So.
Oh wow, you were rolling with 1 gig, doing all this audio stuff.
That was before. Yeah, I actually was. It was the point where, when I had a gig in it, I had to close everything. If I touched the computer, I was scared that it could set fire while I was recording.
Interesting.
But I've recently started using the Mac more for like just researching whilst doing the shows as well, because I wouldn't even open a web browser.
Yeah.
Through fear that Skype would get upset.
Yeah. Wow.
So the iPad has become even more of a leisure device for me than it was before, because I was using it for a lot of the stuff when I was doing the shows. But it is always sort of my go-to reference machine, I guess.
Wow. Definitely. All right.
But yeah, as much I still have my eyes on a MacBook Air, and considering Terrence, my co-host on the Bro Show at thebroshow.co.uk, did it myself that time. He's just bought himself a 13-inch, which I've yet to lay my eyes on. I don't think I actually want him to bring it over, because I'm worried that I will go straight to the Apple Store.
Be warned. And for God's sakes, if you just look at it, you may be okay, but whatever you do, don't restart it.
Oh, I did it in Best Buy, didn't I? It's about 100 times in a row.
I mean, that's the selling point right there, is when you restart and 5 seconds later you're back at the desktop again. And you're like, holy crap, is that fast? It's like, I have to have that. That right there is the future,
Oh. I mean, Terry's so lucky. Terry's never had a Mac before.
Yeah.
And for him to start on the Air, I mean, he's... He's really starting off good.
And
a lot of people call it, you know, their favorite Mac ever, don't they?
Yeah. And it clearly is mine. I mean, we've discussed that on did we talk about that on episode 1 or episode 2? We did the 11-inch talking about, you know,
a long time
ago. How is my favorite Mac, and it's, you know, superseded the, you know, my former favorites, which were the 2400 and the, you know, the PowerBook 2400 and the PowerBook 12-inch G4 respectively. Yeah, this is blow away. And every time I take it out, you know, like yesterday I was having a meeting with somebody, and I needed to look something up, and I had it with me because I had needed it for a client that had a dying hard drive not the day before, but a couple hours before. So that's the reason I decided to bring that with me versus the iPad. And, you know, I took it out, and, you know, our meeting essentially, like, you know, took an abrupt stop as he was like, "Oh, wow, is that the air? Oh, I have yet to..." It's like... And so we spent 10 minutes talking about that. It completely blew off whatever it was we were talking about in our meeting. It was, you know... So, yeah, it's pretty special. But then again...
It still stands. I mean, it still stands from episode 4, I think, when we spoke about it. If anybody wants to send me any money...
You know, as a second portable machine, an adjunct to your iMac, it'd be perfect. It'd be so perfect. You know, and honestly, it's what I'm using for the recording side of this right now. Well, that should be obvious. It's because I don't, you know, my other options are few and far between. But no, that's not true. I say that. I've got two running Macs right now downstairs. But I wouldn't, you know, like this. I wouldn't record on the server because doing servery sort of stuff for my clients, I'm not going to touch it. And I certainly, you know, the iMac is kind of my media server and stuff like that, and it's just not well suited. So, I mean, yeah, the MacBook is what I use. The Air is what I use.
We need to stop talking about this now.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm making.
I'm on the Apple Store.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the store. I don't even know why I do it to myself.
But yeah.
I'm here sorry. Again.
So yeah, so that's my working environment. That's Mike. Mike's. I think we answered the question. In a follow up episode, there was a second part to that question, which I think is even more interesting and actually may end up being a longer episode, which is, you know, if we have any, you know, rituals to prepare ourselves for our work and, you know, what those are and stuff like that. And I think, you know, at least on my side of things, that's, you know, that's the much more fascinating conversation. So.
Well, then we will discuss that.
All right, Mike. Well, you know, as always, a pleasure talking with you, my friend. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. We'll talk later.
We'll do.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.